Greetings, saints. God bless you, and may He keep you through these days to come, and may He pour out His Spirit upon you. Father, we need to be empowered for these days, Lord. We need to be empowered to be prepared for what's about to happen. And we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that all of Your promises are true. And we put our trust in You, in Jesus' name. Well, I have a very good exhortation to share with you, for all of you who are interested in being in the bride. The Lord has definitely spoken concerning what He expects. And what He's offering, you know, is very simple. He wants us to pray. He wants us to do warfare. He wants us to pull back from the things of the world. He doesn't want us to be distracted. We're coming up to a time, which I think we came up to a year ago, in which the Lord said through some people that there was a year's delay because people were not ready. Okay, and or maybe a little more than a year ago, but there was a year's delay. And I do believe that the Lord, we're coming up to that point again, and we need to be ready. Okay, well, this first revelation was given to Eve Brast on the 25th of this month, and it's all about the Lord is coming to inspect UBM, not just UBM, but all of the church. All those are expecting to receive the prize of thy calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, he said, first I dreamed that I was on the land my father gave to me. You know, our father gave to us this land, you know, this life to implant spiritual seed in and to bear fruit, right? Down in Texas with two mobile homes connected by a large concrete porch slab. Well, our original promised land that our father gave us is like a portable house for God's presence. That's this physical life that we've been given. Our natural life is the land that God has promised to us. In other words, to rule and reign. The spiritual man is to rule and reign in this house, right? And we're to drive the enemies out and take it over in order to bear the fruit of the Lord. However, there are two homes on this same property. And there's a little comparison being made here about some people that are in the house that'll have to come up a little bit or they won't stay. And she said, I went over to the mobile home on the left, which of course Jesus put the goats on the left, to check on my hospital co-workers, because Eve works in a hospital and God uses that to speak to her quite a bit. My supervisor was rushing around trying to get the workplace up to code for an upcoming JCAH inspection. She had an entourage of my co-workers following her around. Well, those on the left are like the goats who are self-willed. They're not turning their will over to the Lord. They're not desiring to know what the Lord's will is for them every day, what He desires for them. And this is supposed to be a hospital to heal the spiritually sick. That is the church. The people of God, that's what they do. And interesting that she used the term JCAH, inspection. And I believe that this means JC, standing for Jesus Christ, is coming to inspect this hospital on the left to see if it is up to the code of the Word, to what God's demands are for the church, right? And we know that the standard is the Word, and who is the Lord, not those who go their own way or follow their flesh in the way of death, but we are bondservants of Christ to do His will all day and every day. We don't take vacations from the Lord. We want to know what is His will every day. Otherwise, we're out of His will. We're not keeping our Sabbath, which is mentioned in here too. Sabbath is ceasing from your works on God's holy day. Man's works, or even religious works. Anything that's contrary to the will of God. And the other part of the inspection was A-H, J-C-A-H. Interestingly enough, A-H stands for brother of, because the Hebrew word is translated that way. For instance, Abram's name was changed to Abraham. A-H was added in the middle, meaning brother of. And this was because through circumcision, that is the ceasing to sow flesh, he became the brother of the Lord. And as you know also, Sarai became Sarah, A-H. So this is to see if those in this hospital are brothers of Christ, born of the same Father, and walking in His steps with the works and nature of J.C., Jesus Christ. So, are we on the left or on the right? The self-willed and the stubborn are on the left. Their inspection will be failed unless, as we will see further down in this revelation, unless there is prayer and faith. We don't trust in ourselves. We know that the ability to walk in the Lord and to be humble to His will comes from Him through faith. It is grace, and it's through faith. Therefore, we can pray for it. We can humble ourselves before the Lord and ask Him for these attributes. And what He's saying right now is this is the most important thing for us to do if we want the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The supervisor was carrying a female orange tabby kitten under her left arm. They're all leftists there in the left trailer. They were all nervous because no one knew how to house train the kitten, and we had this inspection coming up. Yeah. Well, I think cats represent self-will. Kind of like the left, you know. And kitten represents immaturity, of course. Tabby, I would say, represents not white. Female represents one who is to receive the seed of the kingdom and not sow the seed of the kingdom, contrary to popular demand out there. And none of this would hold up to the Lord's inspection or His expectations for the inhabitants of this hospital. The question is, are you serving Him daily or yourself? Many people take the easy way. Whatever pleases the flesh pleases them. And so they don't even consider what the Lord wants. Well, He wants a change in that. He wants us to keep His spiritual Sabbath, a ceasing from our works on His holy day, right? Eve said, I had walked into the living room and knelt down to intercede for the inspection. All right, well, that's the first thing she did, and that's the first thing you need to do if the Lord is coming to inspect to see who's going to have the prize, right? Knelt down to intercede for the inspection when my supervisor walked in and handed me the kitten. And I believe that the intercession was that Father would have mercy and get the hospital ready for JC, Jesus Christ. She said, I have faith that you can house train this kitten. Then they all walked out. So this inhabitant has not learned to not release its waste in the house of God, which we're supposed to be continually in, right? We're supposed to walk in the house of God because we are spiritually the house of God in the New Testament, right? And of course, this would not pass inspection as to whether it's up to the standard of the Word, right? No waste in the house of God. I set the kitten down and grabbed a small pink hospital tub that is used for sponge baths and poured some litter into it and kneeled back down in the center of the room and started praying again. The kitten immediately knew what to do and climbed into the litter box. Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? A kitten that's so contrary, the symbolism is so contrary to Christ-likeness. And the fact is they do release all their waste in amongst God's people. But also, prayer will get us ready for the deadline, the inspection, right? And the kitten immediately knew what to do and climbed into the litter box. Wow, praise the Lord. That's a good sign. If the Lord can save people on the left, He can save people on the right, right? So prayer worked. The kitten understood the litter box is for waste, which is to be thrown out in order to sanctify the house and make it smell good for JC, right? And we see here that it will take prayer to get the inhabitants on the left to behave in the house of God. You know, every house has probably got people on the left, people on the right, you know, some who are stubborn and self-willed and just need help, right? And, of course, we should never depart from the house of God, like the Philadelphia Church of brotherly love, who is a pillar in the temple of my God. That's pretty stable, right? You don't go in and out, right? And he shall go out thence no more, Revelation 3 and 12. So it's not a matter of us going in and out of the temple. We're supposed to be the temple, but the temple is holy, the Bible says. And of course, this represents abiding in Christ, who is the Word. And that's where we bear fruit, he said. So, without the fruit of the Word, we fail the inspection. Israel was factioned away from David and left the house of God. And the house of God, of course, is Jesus Christ, abiding in him, right? Jerusalem, the bride, had the temple. And notice that Father is saying that effectual fervent prayer will get us all there, even those walking on the left in their self-will. When we humble ourselves to God, He can do awesome things. When we make mention unto Him that we want His will in us, we would love to serve Him with a willing heart, and we know that even that comes from Him. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when we go to Him in that way, we are announcing that we're not able to do this. And believe it or not, the Lord wants that. He wants that humility, that we would ask Him for everything and not consider that we have any strength within ourselves, right? That the power is of Him, as the Bible says, right? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power might be of God and not of ourselves, right? So we go to Him for everything. And when we humble ourselves to pray, we're admitting to ourselves that we can't do this. Some people are very self-confident, and they know that they can do it. And they get out there, and they do something, but it's not the will of the Lord. But they pride themselves in thinking that it is. Eve said, after this, I walked over to the mobile home on the right. Well, the people on the right know how to get rid of waste, but will they? Prayer is needed. And that's what the Lord is saying with this exhortation. When I walked in, I saw David and Michael overseeing all the UBM brethren as they conversed around an open toilet. Now that's a place to get rid of waste, right? Located in the center of the living room. Well, notice that getting rid of useless waste should be the central focus of our living now. The Lord is saying we are running out of time. Please concentrate. Don't get distracted. There's no time for playing in the flesh. It's time to pray. I know you love to fellowship one with another, but even that has to take second place to praying and doing spiritual warfare so that we may be ready for His coming. And we're not talking about His parousia, we're talking about His epiphany, His coming in His people. Primarily in the first fruits and secondarily in the people who become disciples, right? So, well, this thought came to me twice that this inspection could come before the Revelation 12, 1 through 6 sign in the heavens on 9:23 and 17. So, I decided to ask the Lord to give me four heads if this is so. I reached in my pocket and I pulled out four coins and threw them down on the bed. But as I was pulling them out of my pocket, I also dragged out a fifth coin and it fell on the bed. And the Lord said, count that one too. So I counted all five of them and there were five heads. And five is the number of grace, because that's how we're going to make it, right? Grace. And that comes from faith, trusting in the Lord, keeping your eyes on the Lord. And we can get this through prayer, as seen by the kitten getting rid of waste through prayer, right? So I thought this was a pretty good confirmation that we're very shortly going to have an inspection. And Eve said, everyone was very excited and talking about the wilderness trip that we were about to go on. Well, I suppose some people really shouldn't be excited about that because they're not ready for it. You'll notice that tribulation is almost here, according to this statement, but who will escape its ravages? You know, the people that didn't please God died in the wilderness, right? And we know that we must pass inspection to escape and claim the prize, right? Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, work out your salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling. We are supposed to do this day by day. This is the most important thing. This is a central theme of why we're in the Lord in the first place, is to get cleaned up so that we can be used of Him. Otherwise, we're an unprofitable servant to be cast forth into outer darkness, we're told. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? Hebrews 12 and 25 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Well, we'll find this spoken a few more times in this revelation. We need to hear the Lord, need to follow the Lord. That's the only way we can keep the Sabbath, which is ceasing from our own works. We need to hear Him and obey Him. He is our master. We are His bondservants. For if they escaped not when they refused Him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from Him that warneth from heaven. And this is definitely a warning from heaven, as God confirmed. And Romans 2 and 3 says, And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, some people in the tribulation will not escape the judgment of God. Many Israelites died in that wilderness because they murmured and did not believe God. They didn't believe in His wonderful salvation. And, of course, we're going to have that gift of faith to do this. And we must please Him. And we can, through prayer, through spiritual warfare, we can do this. And this is talking about people judging other people when they're sinners themselves. And the people that do this the most these days, I've seen, is the factious. And boy, I tell you, the hypocrisy just oozes out of them, because they pick on things that are nothing, and they're doing major sin, you know. Anyway, Luke 21 and 36 says, But watch ye at every season, making supplication, that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So this is the thing. Lots of people are just ready to go into the wilderness. Some are not. Some don't believe they've got a doctrine that they're not going there. Contrary to all scripture. They've got a doctrine that they're just not going there. They're sticking their head in the sand, hoping that they're right, you know. But, of course, we're all going there. But some will prevail to escape and stand before the Son of Man. I went over and stood between David and Michael and was patiently waiting for my turn to use the toilet. But each time I tried to take a step forward, someone else would go and sit down on the toilet. Many were talking and taking turns sitting on the toilet, but they weren't using it except as a seat. In other words, they weren't getting rid of the waste, the thing that stinks, the thing that we don't want in the kingdom, right? They weren't using it. And this is the people on the right, that some people are not concentrating on getting rid of things, right? Repentance means forsaking sin, leaving it behind, if you will, or flushing it, right? And Paul said his old religious life was dung. And he no longer carried it around with him, right? Of course. Some drift back to their old useless ways of the world. Some people start out walking by faith, and they drift back to their old ways. And they feel like they can't do any better because they gave up their faith, you know. They're doing it the way the world does it. And they're not doing it the way a person who walks by faith does it, right? We are called to walk by the Spirit. And the sons of God do that, we're told. So some, you know, they get tested and they try, and sometimes they fail and don't get back up and do what they're supposed to do. They just back off and go back to their worldly ways. 2 Peter 2 and 22 says, It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Yep, some people have seen tremendous deliverances and miracles and so on, and yet they're right back in the world doing their own thing, doing it their way again, as they found out at one time that was useless, and of course it's not the life of faith. My righteous one shall live from faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The Lord has told you, you can't please him without walking by faith. Walking by faith in those promises is a miraculous life. And he said, these signs shall accompany them that believe, right? Eve said, I specifically remember a sister doing this in the dream. And she was, in other words, not using the toilet, right? Just sitting on it. She was wearing a red and black outfit. Like in the dream below. She has another dream below this one. It was the next night, as a matter of fact. And it was also a confirmation of this one. Like in the dream below, connecting the two dreams. She was wearing red and black. Well, those are the colors of anarchists. It was the color that Obama and his whole family wore to accept the nomination. That should have been a clue to a lot of people, because he definitely is an anarchist. He wants to overthrow this country. Okay. Merriam-Webster described anarchist as a person who rebels against any authority, established order, or ruling power. Number two, a person who believes in, advocates, or promotes anarchism or anarchy, especially one who uses violent means to overthrow the established order. Did he do this? Of course he did. And there's a lot of other people who are mixed in, who have empathy for the Muslims, who are just the same way, because Muslims have anarchy. They have a factious spirit. And especially the radical Muslims, which is the ones I'm really talking about. Some of them are not so much so. But so the people that have empathy for the Muslims have taken on their spirit because of that empathy. I got to tell you, the same thing works for faction. If you give empathy to somebody who's in faction, you will open yourself up to their spirit. I've seen it happen. So, they even go to violent means to overthrow the established order. Yeah, they do. The factious have an anarchist spirit. Anarchists do not believe that government or laws are necessary. They believe in self-rule, like Christians who walk on the left. And when this spirit is in Christians, they hear, but they don't obey the ordained leadership. And worst cases, of course, they rebel and try to overthrow the ordained leadership. But that's anarchy. That's the red and black. People that wear red and black. In other words, they're putting on the works of an anarchist. Then Michael looked over at me and said, in a teasing manner, "Poor Eve, she always has to be last," quote unquote. I smiled and thought to myself, "The last shall be first." Yes, that's true. Those who put themselves, they put themselves last, are not like the kitten, but like the bride, as Eve was to Adam, who was a type of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, JC in this dream. Amen. Then David said, "Eve, follow me." So I followed him out the door and realized that the mobile home was situated on top of a huge white cruise ship. You can't make this stuff up, folks. A huge white cruise ship. That's like finding the earth is on the back of a big elephant, right? There's some people believe that. Well, on the back of a white cruise ship. This is obviously spiritual. Cruise ships are for rest and pleasure. That's what people use them for. Some people actually will have rest and pleasure during the tribulation, and some will not. They will be tormented. And also, the cruise ship, on a cruise ship, they ride above the sea which represents the peoples of the world. The multitudes, tribes, nations, and tongues, right? The sea also represents the curse of the water of the word and death to the old man, as it did in Noah's day when the ark brought safety and deliverance to him and his family. Eight were saved through water, right? So there are people that will get on that boat. We've had other revelations about that boat from many different people have received revelations about that boat, who could get on it and who could not get on it. Very interesting. And he walked me up to the bow of the ship and said, I want you to see something. He pointed down at the water, and I saw a very large red horse, but it was tiny in comparison to the ship. Well, the red horse in Revelation 6 and 4 represents war. So I believe that this red horse represents spiritual warfare that will pull the ship along. She said, it was walking on the water, pulling the ship upstream. Now, we've talked about what upstream is. It's contrary to the world, contrary to gravity, which is the law of the world. We go contrary to everything that the world says must be when we follow the Lord, right? And when we order the horse. I'll get to that in a minute. Pulling the ship upstream of a large river by a very long rope that David had connected between the bow of the ship and the horse's bridle. Okay. So, we must make the connection again that prayer will enable and empower us to go against human nature and or worldly nature, meaning upstream. And we know that we have not because we ask not. The supernatural comes from people who pray and ask God. Is there anything too hard for God? He asks, you know. And the tongue is a little rudder, but it turns a great ship. As James said, it can turn about the whole vessel, your tongue. So you not only believe with your heart, but you confess with your mouth to be saved, right? And salvation is very big. Being saved is, well, it's Jesus. When you look at Jesus, that you see saved right there. That's what saved is, and that's who we're coming into the image of, and that's how salvation is manifested. And prayer is the powerful means by which we get there. He said, you have not because you ask not. Even now, and then, every now and then, the horse would want to stop pulling the ship. Well, you know, people slack off spiritual warfare when they're distracted by worldly things, and they quickly lose ground. You know, we're talking about the flesh, the old man, right? The flesh of the horse. Sometimes they receive a correction, but as time goes by, they go back to what they were before receiving the correction, as though the Lord might have changed his mind, you know. They can remember the correction, but they don't obey the Lord now. Just because the Lord doesn't whip them every day, they don't think the Lord means what he says. If you've ever received a correction from the Lord, that's the right way. You should still do it, right? If you've backed away, who moved? Yeah, you did, right? So, the Lord hasn't changed his mind. and the horse wants to turn around and go the other way. Eve said he would whinny and rear back and try to turn and go downstream. So that's the easy, natural way for the flesh to go. Some people, they only do what pleases their flesh, and they think, oh, they're just this is the life of the godly, right? But they only do what pleases their flesh. They won't sacrifice their flesh for anything. And, of course, this is going to fail inspection. And when this would happen, all David had to do was point his right index finger down at the horse, and it would settle back down and continue pulling the ship upstream. Well, also, horses represent the flesh of the beast that we have harnessed to do our work for us, and that's this body, you know. It's supposed to serve us, this old flesh of the beast, right? And we have to command our flesh to obey us. As the spiritual man, we're supposed to be in the authority here. And, of course, if you always take the easy route, you'll fail the inspection. Romans 8 and 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You're not here to please the flesh. As a matter of fact, your flesh will suffer if you please the Lord. It will suffer getting its way, right? If you stop feeding it, it'll stop growing. You keep feeding it, it grows. Just look at your belly if you don't believe me, right? For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So if by the Spirit, it's the Spirit's power, not ours, that puts to death the deeds of the body. If by the Spirit, how do you do that? You walk by faith. And 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, which by the way is our Sabbath, that's when you cease to do your works, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, sons of God won't have any trouble with this tribulation. It's the ones on the left that will fail. Don't take the easy way on the flesh. Make it do what you know it's supposed to do, according to the Scriptures. Some people feel a little pain, and that's all they need to disobey God. Disobey what He's commanded us to do. Others, they just muddle on through, and they know that you got to suffer sometimes to do the will of God, and they suffer in order to do the will of God. Others just do whatever they feel good about at the time. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, but I buffet my body. That means beat it with many blows. And bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself would be rejected. Well, okay. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be rejected when the inspection comes. But the Lord is saying there's a cure. And He's already told us, pray, pray. Pray and do spiritual warfare. And don't get distracted at this time. And David turned to me and said, you must remember this, Eve. It's very important. Tell the brethren. Well, she's doing it. And then I woke up, she said. And truly this prayer, spiritual warfare, and keeping the flesh on the cross is the most important message for those who wish to be in the bride and escape the hour of trial like the Philadelphia church, right? Amen. So please listen. This is very, very important. And I asked for a word for what David said concerning the horse, and received Revelation 1 and 4, in context from 4 to 6. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Well, John is called the Beloved because of John 20 and 2, the disciple beloved of Jesus. Of course, he beloved all of his disciples, but he had a particular affection for John. And since this was talking about David, and our question was about David, the point is David's name means beloved, just like John is called, right? And like David, John exhorted the church to not give in to their flesh in the letter to the churches at the beginning of Revelation there. But he offered grace and peace from the throne of God. And this brings us back to prayer. Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace. We can go boldly before the throne because of the sacrifice of Jesus and ask for grace. In other words, ask for God's unmerited favor. To do what? To do everything we need to do. To be submitted to the will of God. To be devoted to serving Him every day. To give up the pleasures of this life in order to have a kingdom that's eternal. So, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and might find grace to help us in time of need. So that's what he says. I mean, that's simple. The Lord is saying pray, and that's what he's saying too. Pray for grace to do whatever you need to do, to be whatever you need to be. It's all been provided by Jesus Christ. And continuing with her Revelation 1, 4 through 6 text, it says, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before His throne. So we receive grace at His throne of grace, right? Grace to you and peace. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Well, you know who the kings of the earth are? I know you think they're the natural kings, but no, the spiritual kings are the ones that rule this earth, according to the book of Revelation. And they reign upon the earth, the Bible says. Unto Him that loveth us and loosed us from our sins by His blood. Notice it's past tense, and it's so true, that we've been loosed. Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, you need to pray. You need to ask God to give you that gift of faith, to believe that the devil is under your feet, to believe that you can come against him and win, since you have received authority over all the power of the enemy, right? Some people don't pray because they don't think it'll do any good. Well, that's because they have no faith. If you pray, God will give you faith and God will give you grace from the throne. You can go boldly before the throne. And He made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, once again, pray and exercise spiritual warfare over the enemy. Eve said, I asked Father for a word concerning the kitten and received Proverbs 7 and 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and wily of heart. She is clamorous and willful. There it is. Notice that.
I asked Father for a word concerning the kitten. She is clamorous and willful. Her feet abide not in her house. Yep, those kittens love to wander. Cats are very self-willed. So the self-willed kitten is the harlot. That's what the answer was here. That makes sense. It doesn't matter where she goes to church. She's not in the house of God. You understand the house of God is, of course, a spiritual entity, and a building is not. And so some people go to church, but they're not the church. You know? So I asked for a word for the people who were talking about the wilderness, but not using the toilet as a toilet, and received Jeremiah 25:1. And my finger was on concerning all the people. So here it is in context. Jeremiah 25:1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. Jeremiah, we know that the people of Judah represent the Spirit-filled people of God, because in their midst is the Spirit of God in the temple. And the apostates who factioned away from them was Israel, who made their own God and called it the Lord, right? Called it Jehovah, Yahweh. So, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people. Jeremiah's are speaking to Judah and Jerusalem today, because Jerusalem is part of Judah. In the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. The same was the 1st year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah the son of Amon, the king of Judah, even unto this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. Well, there's a lot of good stuff preached, and it's just not obeyed. Because if people don't act on what they hear, they quickly forget it. So, actually, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to act on His Word. And many have failed inspection, because they're hearers but not doers of the Word, deluding themselves. To hear the word that we have and not act upon it is to get out of the waste, to waste these years without bearing fruit too. So when we hear the word but we don't act on it, our conscience becomes even more closed, more hardened. And the next time it's easier, because sometimes we just didn't see the Lord slap us, so we go on in our self-will, like the cat. Ask the Lord for a humble heart towards Him. Ask and pray for that. And ask Him to do a quick work, because He's offering in here, through this promise of prayer, a quick work. And the Lord hath sent unto you all His servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, return ye now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land. Notice that repenting, which is turning around, going the other way, is dwelling in our promised land. You know, whenever this flesh is made to serve the Lord, we're dwelling in our promised land. We have taken the promise. We have conquered the enemies. We have
We are ruling, right, in this body. And dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers from of old and even forevermore. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and to provoke me not to anger with the work of your hands. And I will do you no hurt. So if we don't run after our idols, our man-made things that are more important to us than God, things that we serve instead of God, he won't do us any hurt. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord, that you may provoke me to anger with the work of your hands and to your own hurt. In other words, those who love to hear the word but do it not are driven from the land, which represents our promised land of this life, right? Our natural life, like Adam's, came from the earth. And it's God's tilled land that receives the seed of the word. In other words, he's told us to break up our fallow ground. He's talking about humble yourself. He's talking about repent. Receive the seed of the word. Let it bear fruit in your life, right? We have seen those who don't bear fruit driven from the land, and the brethren by God through faction. Yeah. You know, God is behind the faction. He's using the faction. He's using the spirits of faction to drive people from the land who disobey his word. He wants the land purified. He wants his people purified. He doesn't want a little leaven to leaven the whole lump, right? So these people become desolate without God and without a conscience. And we received a similar word many times in our morning prayer meeting for these people. Exodus 33 and 26 on down. And it says, you stand upon your sword, you work abomination. So in other words, they do no spiritual warfare, for they are taken captive and can't inherit the land, right? And you defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? And they are taken over by lust. We've seen this consistently, just like their factious Muslim counterparts in the natural. Notice how much lust the Muslims have? That's because they've got faction, and they're full of lust. They excuse rape and all these other things, but they're just full of lust. That's a demon. Verse 27, thus shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, as I live, surely they that are in the waste places shall fall by the sword. There's that waste. Shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured. And they that are in the strongholds and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Now, of course, people that have gone that far, to receive those spirits, they don't believe a word of this. It'll never happen to them. They know it. And I will make the land a desolation and an astonishment. Well, I'm looking at their land, and that's exactly what it is. And they are driven from their land, which is desolate. And the pride of her power shall cease. And they don't have any power. They don't have any faith. And all I've got power to do is to pray up demons to go and attack people. And the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, so that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have made the land a desolation and an astonishment. Can you imagine that's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar when he was eating the grass of the field and thinking, oh, how long he's going to stay in this bondage, doing stupid stuff that he knows he is wrong, you know. His talons grew as claws and so on, you know. So, you know, when a person comes to the place that they're ashamed of who they are, God can change them. But as long as they're proud of who they are, he just takes them deeper and deeper and deeper into corruption. And I have made the land a desolation and an astonishment because of all their abominations which they have committed. So after receiving a reprobate mind, because they received not a love of the truth, God will reveal himself to the elect among them, and they will be ashamed and repent. This is what the Lord has shown us. Oh, praise be to God. Not all will be that way, especially wicked leadership are judged more harshly than the people who are deceived. The deceivers are always judged more harshly than the ones who are deceived. Verse 30. And as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee. This is still the context that we've received in our morning meetings, you know, which speaks of the same thing that Eve got there. Son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. That sounds like people that are favorable to the preacher, right? However, it's not helping them. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. In other words, they like to listen, they just don't like to do. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and behold, it cometh, in other words, the desolation of their land or their life is what's coming, you know. Then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. Yeah, they will know that they've been told. Hearers but not doers are rejected from the land by God. And God turns them over to faction spirits to separate them from his people. And Eve said, then I received this connected dream the next day on 7/26/17. And it's very interesting too. I dreamed I was floating in the spirit in front of a game show stage. There were flashing lights everywhere and flashing arrows pointed towards a sister who was center stage. There were also bells and whistles going off. She was extremely obese, standing in the center of the stage wearing shorts and a tank top. Sounds like a lot of flesh showing, right? Which represents the works of the flesh. Somebody who is overcome by flesh, driven to partake of flesh. The game show announcer, and what came to me when I read this is the word herald. It's the meaning of preacher. Sometimes you see a footnote that says herald. The game show announcer was standing to her right, dressed in an old polyester suit, from the 70s. So dressed up with the early works of the Lord. The announcer, or herald, or preacher, began to announce that this sister had won a big prize. And she put her hands on each cheek with a look of great surprise. Well, you know, we've announced the gospel that the prize has already been given by the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Christ, right? But many will never see this prize because of a lack of faith resulting in obedience, right? Resulting in their disobedience. So, Eve said, I could see through the wall behind the stage as the executive producer. He had to see through a wall, a dimension wall, I would say. And she saw the executive producer, who I believe is the Lord. His assistants, and I believe they're the angels, came up to him with a stern look on their face. They bent over and talked with him in a low voice, and his face changed from happy and satisfied to disappointed and frustrated. The Lord is not happy with those who are not getting rid of flesh, especially when the cure is available, even in this dream, through prayer and faith. The executive producer then said in the announcer's earpiece, in other words, the preacher hears from the Lord. The executive producer then said in the announcer's earpiece that this sister had been disqualified and could not receive the prize due to cheating. And I believe this is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? The bride, the man-child, the prize. Cheating. And this is what came to me immediately when I read this. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned, except he have contended lawfully. So whatever gain we get, it must be the Lord's way, right? Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. In other words, spiritual and possibly physical too, because when you're in bondage to food, eating, and feeding the flesh, that can be both spiritual and physical. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. So notice it said, lay aside the weight, which really, how are you going to run a race with a lot of weight? And the sin. So sometimes these are just distracting things. In themselves, they may not be sin, but the fact that they're distracting you and more important to you than serving God, praying, being devoted to the will of God, ceasing from your own works, etc., etc., then that becomes an idol, doesn't it? And the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. People with a lot of flesh, they don't run races very well. They usually poop out before the finish. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Isn't that something? You know, we can get our faith from Him. It'll be perfected from Him. All we got to do is go to Him. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross. That's making that horse go in the direction he don't want to go, upstream. Let's take it easy. Let's just rest. Remember the dreams I've had about laying on my back, looking up at the sun, and being able to just float upstream. Float upstream. No works even. You know, just float upstream. As the announcer listened to what the producer was telling him, he stopped in mid-sentence and said, "Oh, wait a minute." Then he said to the obese sister, "I'm sorry, ma'am. You've been disqualified. You won't be able to receive your prize." It reminded me of 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so, run that you may attain." Well, how do you run so that you attain if only one receives a prize? Because the one who wins is Jesus. He's already won. And, of course, anybody that abides in him. Right? The sister's face turned very angry. Normally, if God or one of his representatives tells you something, unless you're really taken over by some spirit or self-will or rejection or whatever, then you would humble yourself normally. But the sister's face turned very angry and her eyes were bulging as she began pointing at the announcer, which is the preacher. I kind of feel like I fit good in this place, which is the preacher, and towards the back of the stage where the producer, who is the Lord, was. She began pointing at the preacher and the one he was sent by. She began to rail. Now, in the Greek, in the New Testament, that is the word blasphemio. It's the word blaspheme. She began to rail at them and curse them. That is both God and the one he sent. "And whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me," the least. And so when people mistreat God's servants, they're mistreating the Lord. When they curse God's servants, they're cursing the Lord. And this is what the factious do when corrected for sin. As soon as the words were out of her mouth, she collapsed dead on the stage. And this is what happens to them when they get unforgiving and angry and blaspheme, meaning to speak against. That's what blaspheme means, to speak against. It can be speaking against God or one of his servants. It makes no difference. They die to God and conscience. And God turns them over to Satan, as in 1 Timothy 1 and 20. "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme or rail." I heard gasps from the audience, and I turned to see the sister dressed in a black and red outfit. Remember from the first dream? So this connects the two dreams, right? And that's the colors of anarchists and their flag, by the way. Their flag is also black and red. She stood up in horror and concern for the obese sister. And we have seen that pity for these spirits is an open door for their entry. And I'll read this again. Merriam-Webster spoke about anarchist, a person who rebels against any authority, established order, or ruling power. And number two, a person who believes in, advocates, or promotes anarchism or anarchy, especially one who uses violent means to overthrow the established order. And the factious have an anarchist spirit. Anarchists do not believe that government or laws are necessary, even spiritual government or laws in the church. They believe in self-rule. They'll do what they want to do, kind of like the kitten. Now, they're not mature in the Lord, because maturity in the Lord is submission. They're babies. And when the spirit's in Christians, they rebel against the ordained law and the government of the church. And their pride causes them to ordain themselves as they take on titles that are not theirs, etc. She began to agree with things that she heard obese sisters say. Yep, that's when God is starting to turn you over because of sin. And that's when faction or anarchy enters in. Have you noticed that when the fake news media speaks lies, people out there go crazy? That's because they're receiving demons from these people who are mixed up in all the Satanist party with the elites and with the Obamas and the Hillarys and people like that. And some of the Republicans are mixed up in that too. Yeah. And they've received demons. And it's killing them. Notice. Yeah, it's killing them. You receive demons in you, they'll take you out. And began to think of the producer, who was God, as unfair. And she blamed him for the obese sister's death. And as she spoke against, that's the meaning of blaspheme, to speak against, right? And as she spoke against the producer, in other words, blasphemed the Lord, right? She also collapsed and fell dead in the audience. And we've all seen this death. It's dead to any correction of conscience or scripture. It's not a physical death. By the grace of God, some of these people will be granted repentance and be very ashamed of themselves, so much so that they won't ever want to go back there. Then I looked back toward the game show auditorium, and I had a vision of another sister wiping down one of the UBM white rectangular tables. People had finished eating and dishes were being cleared. We're talking about spiritual food, right? Away, and things wiped up and put up. She was upset by what had happened to her two close friends. This is, of course, an opening for others to be defiled. She was upset. She had pity towards her two close friends. And was shaking her head and kept wiping the table in a circular motion. She was angry with God for the death of the obese sister and the sister dressed in black and red. The husband of the third sister was standing on the other side of the table with his arms folded in disapproval of her anger towards God, and was telling her that she had no right to be angry with God. But she just shook her head and murmured and kept wiping the table in large circular motions. At this point, she collapsed and fell down dead. We can tell you the point at which these people die. It's obvious. In the dream, I thought, oh no, this is becoming an epidemic. I need to warn everyone. As you know, the Lord already told her to tell everybody, warn. And then I woke up. So what I do know is, in agreement with this, do not agree with someone who speaks against another without two or three reputable witnesses of sin. And it has to be sin. It has to be sin according to the word, not just something that the wicked person doesn't like. Then you go and talk to the person alone, as Matthew 18 and 15 says, but they never do. They always go to 17, which is to the church, first. And that is because a demon of faction wants to spread faction. Internet slander or word of mouth will not do. God's cleaning up the bride from all leaven, and he's doing it quickly. I asked Father for a word about what this disqualifier was, and I received Jeremiah 34:18 in context 17 through 20. And my finger was on men that have transgressed my covenant. Oh, so the disqualifier is men that have transgressed my covenant. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty, every man to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. And this is, of course, proclaimed by Jesus to be speaking of forgiving the debt of someone's sin against you. He calls it a debt. And this proclamation of liberty is the slaves being set free of their debt to another man. Behold, I proclaim unto you a liberty, but it's not one that they're going to like, says the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine. Now, this is what some people are actually going into when they go into the tribulation. And I will make you to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, there it is, that have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. Now that was a blood covenant. They made a blood covenant, such as we have with the Lord, who bore our curse for us. And the Lord said, since I forgave you, you better forgive everybody else, or I will turn you over to the tormentors. Right? The princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land that passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies. Which is exactly what he said he would do. Turn them over to Satan and his tormentors. And into the hand of them that seek their life. And their dead bodies shall be for food unto the birds of the heavens and to the beasts of the earth. And of course we know Jesus' answer to those who refuse to forgive another their debt of sin. Matthew 6 and 12 says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, how dangerous it is not to forgive when our Lord has forgiven us, right? And this is clearly speaking of the debt of sin that some will not forgive, even if there is no sin, because some of that stuff is so goofy, it's just exactly like what's going on out there with all the attacks against Trump. A bunch of liars. But they're not just liars, they're demon-possessed because they've received that spirit of faction. If you haven't had any experience with these people, you look on the TV and see what happens to those people that listen to the lying media, listen to the lying leaders. And Matthew 18 and 21, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had. Notice that. If you're wondering why when somebody gets taken into faction, their whole family goes into it and are destroyed. That's why. And payment to be made. Notice the Lord turned him and his family over. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, and he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what thou owest. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay that which was due. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceedingly sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him unto him, and saith unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. So this is a disqualifier for those who want God's grace and forgiveness, because they can't have it unless they give it. And that's what they need for the prize. And I tell you, pray for President Trump. I know he has a big problem with Sessions, even though I think Sessions is doing a pretty good job, and he's admitted that too. He's got unforgiveness. And that can turn him over the tormentors, and that can hurt the whole country. So pray for him. Pray for him that these foul spirits that are lying against him don't get a permission to come into him because of his unforgiveness. Right? Pray for him. I asked for a couple of verses about what the epidemic was, and received Isaiah 58:14, in context 13 and 14. And my finger was on the words high places. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. So that's what pleases your flesh on his day. He wants you to ask him about everything, so that you know you're following him, that you're where you're supposed to be, not just some big party all the time. This is not acceptable with him. Sometimes we're called to serve. And call the Sabbath a delight. In other words, forsaking our own works to obey the Lord. We should be delighting in this. And the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor it, not doing thine own ways, which is breaking the Sabbath, nor finding thine own pleasure, which is breaking the Sabbath, nor speaking thine own words, which is breaking the spiritual New Testament Sabbath. It's called the Sabbatismos. And it means a continual Sabbath, not a day anymore. The word that's used in Hebrews 3 is a continual Sabbath. And then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, pray the Lord to give you the desires of his heart. Pray for a love of the truth. Pray to be obedient and well-pleasing unto him. Also, I received Hosea 8 and 7, and my finger was on, for they sow the wind. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. He hath no standing grain. The blade shall yield no meal. So, people that sow the wind, they lose their fruit. If so be it yield, strangers shall swallow it up. So, basically, those who sow adversity will reap even worse, and they will have no fruit. Now, this prayer and warfare that we must do to be prepared to be discerned by the Lord, we must do. We must do it above everything else. This is what this is saying. We must keep his Sabbath. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you give us a desire, because Jesus died to give us his life, that you give us a desire to walk well-pleasing unto you. We ask that we enjoy serving you, that it's not a burden to us, and that we don't enjoy serving our flesh. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. And then Pamela Orr received this on the 26th of this month. And we called it, It's Warfare Time. It is time. The Lord is saying, through prayer and warfare, you can do something about this lack that you and the brethren around you have. You can do something about the enemies that are holding them captive. You can do something about these things. And Pam said, in this dream, I seem to be living in a time of great disease, fighting, raping, murdering. Someone important needed to go through some kind of purification rite that involved a three-stage fever. Now, you know what a fever is. It's when your body is fighting off an infection. An invasion, fighting off. This is what we need to do as the body of Christ, to fight off this invasion. And the gross part was that the process was catalyzed by administering some kind of a worm. And she said, I think this speaks of our need to be purified in body, soul, and spirit. The worm here may represent administering the curse so that someone might be purified. It's, yes, curse is mightily motivating to cause a person to turn away from their sin. And I believe that's right. And my thought also is that the worm is that which consumes rotting flesh. Yes, it represents the curse on those who are spiritually dead and in need of repentance. Mark 9:45 says, "And if thy foot cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It's good for thee to enter into life, halt, rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. And if thy eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It's good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Where their worm dieth not. In other words, they're constantly, in hell, tormented. And did you know the tormentors come to the earth? They are permitted to torment people who don't forgive, for instance. And that's what I believe this worm represents, just like Pam, which is what she's saying. In other words, spiritual hell on earth for those walking in the flesh. All right, repent. Turn away from your flesh. Don't please it. It will whip you. You'll lose every time. So after the dream, I asked Father for a random word regarding this strange purification. And I got Isaiah 7:4-7. "And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither let thy heart be faint, because of these 2 tales of a smoking firebrand, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah." Because Syria obviously represents the beast who sought to conquer Israel. "Because Syria, Ephraim," which is the harlot, the northern 10 tribes, right, "and the son of Remaliah have purposed evil against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it." Yes, these factious groups here. "And let us make a breach therein for us, and set up a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. For thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." So they wanted to set up a puppet king. They wanted to replace the ordained king with a puppet king. And of course, that's exactly what the faction have tried to do over and over. Well, verse 8 goes on to say, "For the head of Syria is Damascus." That's the beast who warred against Judah. "And the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken in pieces, so that it shall not be a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria." That represents the apostate harlot who warred against Judah, their own kin. "And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." So we know that God will send the worm of the beast and the harlot against those who are not being obedient to him. Amen. Father, we ask you, we know that obedience is a gift from God. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. So we count on you, Lord. We ask you to move through us and make us obedient servants. Give us a heart to be an obedient servant, Lord. The hearts of all men are in your hands. And we ask you for this gift, Lord. And then Pam said, in another scene, we went into a theater, but discovered that we weren't supposed to be in that particular theater. It was dark in there and reserved for someone or something else. Since many of us are familiar with the phrase theater of war, I think the theater represents spiritual warfare, where God sends us. He gives us light. There was no light in the building. They couldn't see to fight, right? If we are in a place of darkness, it may not be our place to fight. Yep. We have to cease from our own works and obey the Holy Spirit. He is the leader. We can't just go out there flailing against the wind, right? Proverbs 26 and 17 is a pretty cute proverb. It says, he that passeth by and vexeth himself with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You don't want to do that. You might get your hands bit or even your face, right? That's a cool one. In another scene, we were frightened by a group of fierce warriors. But behind closed doors, they revealed themselves to us as friends and even lovers. There was a scene where I thought the warrior chief meant to hurt me. But instead, all he did was look tenderly at me and touch his palms to my palms. Well, Mark 9 and 38 says, John said unto him, Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. These were warriors that she said they didn't know. So he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name, and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. Amen. Don't go out there picking fights with people just because they don't come from the same group you are in, right? And some people God uses in one fashion, in one gift, and some another. And all don't necessarily have all the same gift, right? So we need to cooperate with people who are of a good persuasion, and want to serve the Lord. Then I fell into either sleep or unconsciousness. And after the dream, for a random word for the warrior chief, my pencil landed in the Greek concordance on the word apokalypsis, meaning revelation or unveiling. Which is what revelation means in Revelation. The Apostle John, so we're back to John, guided by the Holy Spirit, used this word, one of three, in regard to Christ Jesus' second coming, the unveiling. And you know, let me say this, that Jesus lives in a people who serve him and obey his word. And this revelation is like a baby being born. It's going to be made known to the world that this person is a servant of God. It's an unveiling. And she went on to say, I think the fierce and frightening warriors are angels. Chief among them would be Christ Jesus himself. And when we diligently seek God, he will visit us and reveal or unveil his will in order for us to pray. Yes, he constantly gives us dreams to show us how to pray. As you know, dreams many times are conditional, and even the negative things in this dream can be changed by our prayers. And what she said about the angels is true. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" They're our friends. They serve us. They fight for us. They're fighting the physical battles with Satan and his angels, even while we're holding fast to the blood of Jesus and confessing him before men, right? According to Revelation 12. Now in this dream, there was a second keeper, an angel or a person keeping track of things. Yep, it's all being written down, huh? One thing I specifically heard the record keeper say upon the occasion of my arising from the bed was, "And she has seed now for 1,008. After the dream, I was led to research Hebrew's Strong Concordance number 1008. It is Bethel, the house of God. And I believe God was telling me through this number that when one is intimate with Christ, as we saw before about the house of God, you abide in it, you stay in it, just as you abide in Christ, right? When one is intimate with Christ, she says, Jesus, the seed that person will bear will be of the house of God. That fits really good with Eve's dream, doesn't it? Back in the dream, I saw the warrior chief leave in pursuit of the mayor's vehicle. A mayor is, of course, a principality on this earth, a ruler on this earth. And this was the mayor of the city in which we found ourselves in this dream. Then I saw that the vehicle was stopped. So remember, the angel went after that vehicle. The vehicle was stopped, and the mayor's driver, or chauffeur, was dead, sustaining a big bloody hole in his forehead right between his eyes. A mark of the beast, right? And because he had the mark of the beast, the angels took him out. Anyway, the angels took out the enabler and the power source of the beast government, representing the spiritual principality and power over the physical principality and power. In other words, this chauffeur was driving them around from place to place, and as we'll see, it was for the purpose of taking out the righteous. It reminded me of the pictures I've seen of David taking out Goliath. But the mayor and his sidekick were still alive, cowering under some sort of protection within the vehicle. I think the driver represents Satan, and that he is already destroyed. Well, the binding of the strong man is one thing too, but could be a principality or power that is empowering the governmental heads to come against God's people. The mayor and his sidekick still being alive represents the human people of earth who work for Satan. Yes, amen. Back in the dream, the mayor and his sidekick came to where we were located. With them was a short list of names of people whom they were seeking. The government is seeking after people. For what? Well, no good, right? Everyone on the list had essentially the same last name. William, Williams, or Williamson. Some of the names of this Williams list had already been crossed off, and I realized that these guys had come to eliminate the people on the list. After the dream, I researched the name at babycenter.com, and it said William means strong-willed warrior. So, the government wants to take out the strong-willed warriors. I think the William list specifically refers to people who have a strong desire or will to engage in spiritual warfare. They are a special threat to the enemy, and so it is key to seek to eliminate them. Yes, they are seeking to eliminate anyone who appears to be a threat to their natural kingdom, right? Back in the dream, the mayor wanted to know if Vanessa Weeks was part of our group. But he called her Vanessa Williams. Vanessa stepped forward to indicate her identity. The mayor lost no time stabbing her with a poison pen. That's the way faction is. They like to write stuff that's, false and accusing to assassinate your identity, right? But I was on my guard for foul play, and I had antidote on me and administered it to her quickly. And I believe the antidote is that we have authority in the spiritual warfare over all the power of the enemy. And that's when I woke up. Apparently, Father was using Vanessa as a type for prayer warriors or intercessors. And also, there is a wordplay going on here. Some of us may recall that Vanessa Williams is the name of a beautiful woman who won the Miss America title. And this could be the Lord saying, what I see as beautiful and worthy is a resolute prayer warrior. A few days after having this dream, someone mentioned that there's recently been a loss of intercessors. And I took this as a strong confirmation to finish typing up this dream. Yep, people started out real strong, when they saw what was happening in the election, and then they kind of slacked off, permitting the enemy to flood in. And I think we need to go back and pray not only for the leaders of the physical government, but the leaders for the spiritual government. It needs to be done. And for one another, that we get rid of that flesh. Get rid of that waste, right? She said, lastly, I asked for an overall word and received Isaiah 1 through 7. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that holdeth it fast, and keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it. So once again, we hear that, and we profane the Sabbath by works of the flesh, or works of religion, and keepeth his hand from doing evil. Neither let the foreigner that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord of the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths. In other words, those that don't sow their own seed. Right, that's what a eunuch does, and the Sabbath, of course, represents the same thing. And choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant. Unto them will I give in my house, and within my walls, a memorial, and a name better than of sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Praise the Lord. We need to be eunuchs for the Lord. We don't want to sow our seed. We want to sow the Lord's seed, right? Paul said, you have not many fathers, but I begat you through the gospel. In other words, he sowed God's seed, not his own seed, right? And he had become a eunuch for Christ. Also, the foreigners that joined themselves to the Lord to minister unto him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it. Notice, you can't do your own thing and be his servant. You're here to serve him. You have to find out where you should be, when you should be there, what you should be doing. And it just may be against your flesh, totally against your flesh. You may have to buffet your body and bring it into submission so that you're not rejected because you walked after the flesh, right? And holdeth fast my covenant. We made a covenant. We serve him. And of course, he serves us. Something that Jesus did a couple thousand years ago. And even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. Of course, we're all priests of the Lord to sacrifice flesh on the altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Well, amen. A house of prayer for all peoples. We need desperately to turn to prayer now. We can see very evil things going on in the world. We can see that Commander-in-Chief needs some direction. I'd rather not see him sign laws that, you know, make Russia our enemy, which they say he's fixing to do. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, we need to help him to stay on the right path through our prayers. And Father, we just ask you to be with President Trump. Let him make your decisions. We ask you to put it in his heart. Lord, he doesn't have the knowledge of these things that we're speaking of today. But you are Almighty God, and you work in all vessels according to your will. And we ask you, Lord, today that you will work in President Trump your desire, that you will put it in him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, make sure he forgives everybody. We know the deep state, they have a lot of hatred. They hate conservatives. They hate the Russians. They hate anybody that they have considered to be their enemy. But we love our enemies, and we want to be at peace with all men, as your word says. The factious are not so. They like to make war. Lord, don't let that spirit enter into this president or his cabinet. We ask that you set your angels round about them to protect them in Jesus' name and give them wisdom, Lord. And she went on to say, based on the dream itself and the accompanying words given for it, I feel that Father is saying, number one, it's fighting time. We must walk in the dominion he's given us in order to administer both blessings and curses. And by the way, she did not know about Eve's dream, and Eve did not know about hers. And that's the way it normally happens. Number two, be discriminating in where you war spiritually. Number three, only through intimacy with Christ Jesus will the house of God be built. Amen. Number four, beware the enemy who is on the prowl for anyone who truly intercedes. That's true. Pray for the interceders. Pray for the intercessors, right? The prayer warriors. Be prepared to minister to other intercessors. It's fighting time. Amen. And just remember, Ephesians 6 and 12. I mean, I hear people praying against people a lot, but it's really the principalities and powers. Ephesians 6 and 12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are the ones you have to bind. These are the ones you have to cast down. These are the ones who you have to destroy their works. You have to tell them what you want them to do. You've got authority over all their power, therefore tell them what you want them to do, right? Now, let me say this. This is not to say that the Lord won't use his fathers to chasten the flesh of the wicked children so they'll be motivated to not give in to demons. Amen? We know 1 Timothy 1 and 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that he might be taught not to blaspheme, not to speak against others, right? And 1 Corinthians 5 and 3, for I verily, being absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that hath so wrought this thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, ye being gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. In other words, a chastening on their flesh will teach them not to give in to demons. So, one does not exclude the other. You wrestle with the principalities and powers, and sometimes God turns these people over for a spanking. And it has to be God. It can't be man. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. And by the way, a spanking is not a curse. It's a blessing. Okay? Because if you don't get a spanking, you're a spoiled child, right? You can continue on in your wrong ways. Just remember, we got to fight. We don't have any choice. Luke 11 and 20 says, but if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. When the strong man fully armed guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now that's what Jesus did. He divided the spoils. But he says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Jesus won the battle, and he bound the strong man. So if we fight, we will win. But if we don't believe that he is conquered, that is the devil, and don't fight, we will lose automatically. They're not going to stop fighting. So pray and do warfare against the enemies of both the church and the state. Amen? Amen. So thank you so much for being with us today. And Father, we just ask you, bless all the brethren out there to be diligent in praying without ceasing and in coming against the enemies, both in the physical and spiritual realm, and praying for the brethren to all grow up very quickly in the Lord. And Lord, we ask you to give us your mercy and your grace, Lord, to be well-pleasing unto you. Help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, saints, and God bless you. We'll do this again sometime.